This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. There are video games, there are board games, and then there is LARPing. For the uninitiated, LARP stands for Live Action Role Play, and more on what that actually entails in a moment. But while the hobby has been gathering steam here in the U.S., it's pretty much gone mainstream in Denmark. Joining me now to explain how popular Nordic LARPing has become and why is Klaus Rosted. He's an avid LARPer, organizer of large-scale LARPs, and acts as a sort of ambassador for the sport. His recent article, LARP Comes Out of the Shadows, appeared in the travel journal Roads and Kingdoms. Klaus, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you.
For starters, please describe what LARPing is for us, especially if somebody who doesn't know what it means.
Basically, it's let's pretend. And it can be with kids, it can be with adults, it can be orcs and elves in the forest, it can be about being an executive at an advertising agency. It's organized play.
So what does that look like?
It can look like anything. If you do a LARP about an advertising agency, it's going to look like a scene out of the Mad Men series. While if you do a LARP set in the Star Wars universe, then at best it's going to look like a cheap reproduction of a Star Wars movie.
So you're playing characters, basically.
Yes. It's basically improvised theater without a script.
How would you compare it then to acting or historical reenactments?
If I had to compare it to, I'd say that there's a lot of things in common with acting. But with acting, you're acting for someone else's benefit. You're on some kind of stage and you're trying to portray something. While in LARPing, you're trying to get a feel of the emotions yourselves. So we usually, if we want to use fancy terms, we call what we do participatory art, mm-hmm. as opposed to consumer art. I love watching movies. I love reading books. But when I turn a page and the hero does something that I disagree with, I have no options. Here, I can actually be a part of creating the story. And that's magical.
Well, you've participated in some pretty out there LARPs, and I don't mean the Game of Thrones fantasy kind. What are some of the roles that you have played?
Well, I've played in something inspired by the occupation of Iraq. I've played a peacekeeping trooper. And that was a little bit different to get a feel for that. Of course, it's nothing like being in Iraq, but you get a little sense of some of the difficulties faced by these people. I've played a snack bar owner on a Muslim spaceship in 2854. That was a little bit strange, but fun.
What is the background for these roles? I mean, do a bunch of people agree to get together and do a LARP?
Yes, basically you have some people who have some kind of creative vision. That could be me, for instance, or other people. And we will find a location for it and we'll find some kind of basic fiction and we'll invite people to come and be a part of it. Hmm. So my next big project is a wizard school at a castle in Poland. So what we've done is basically we've rented a whole castle, which is a hotel by day, and we rented the whole thing and paid some extra to ensure there are no tourists. And then we invite people from all over the world to come and play witches and wizards at this magical college.
Well, you're raising money for this now. It's a big Harry Potter LARP. Let's hear.
It's not Harry Potter.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Inspired by, at least. No. The reason I stress this is due to our deal with Warner Brothers, who has the rights for it. That it's definitely not Harry Potter, but it's inspired by it and by other magical universes.
All right, so let's hear a promotional video for the next wizard event.
Like many of us my age, used to be a Harry Potter fan when I was a kid. And then this game pops up and it's like reliving my teenage years again.
When I saw this, it was like, oh my God, I just have to be there.
Incontinentia! Very nice, we'll do it once more.
In the promotional video, people get to see the look of the castle and the costumes used. Really, absolutely stunning. What else do you have to figure out in order to make a LARP like this pull off?
One thing is you have to have some kind of background fiction. Are we in Rome in the 2nd century? Are we at a wizard school? Are we in space, wherever? And you have to have some kind of structure to make it interesting. In this case, we built the whole structure of the school, how it functions with classes and rivalries between the different sororities, fraternities, and somebody teaches, somebody has lessons. Are there monsters in the forest? What's going on? You have to construct the experience, so to speak.
But I imagine that you have to sort of assign roles to people, right? Because not everybody can be the head wizard.
Yes. Well, whenever people sign up for a LARP, we do some kind of casting. In this case, it's rather easy. Most of the players play students, and some play professors, a groundskeeper, a janitor, and so on.
you're kind of creating your own storyline on some level. Yes. But I wonder how far that goes for you. I mean, you wouldn't set fire to a forest, obviously. You wouldn't kill somebody, obviously. Playing a peacekeeper or a prisoner, I think, in Guantanamo Bay was one of the LARPs that you've also done. What are the limits of how far you can go in that role?
As with any other kind of play, you agree on what the limits are. If you walk into, say, a football match, then you agree on what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. So at the Guantanamo LARP, people were actually tortured using real torture methods. And, of course, there are stop words and ways of signaling, okay, this is breaking my boundaries and so on. But as long as you agree, you can play more or less anything.
This is really caught on in the Nordic countries, apparently. What do you think distinguishes the Nordic LARPing scene from others?
There are several things that distinguish the Nordic LARP scene. One is that in the Nordic countries, life is rather safe in general. A lot of people go to some of the kind of, so we say, darker aspects of art to get those experiences because life is rather safe and comfortable in general. That's one thing. Another is that we have a state that funds art activities and culture activities quite a lot. So we're not necessarily dependent on private sponsors to get things running. And thirdly, we don't suffer too much from what I'd call American masculinity culture, which basically says that anything outside the mainstream is for nerds and they should be beaten up and they have no sex lives or social lives. We can also see this when we get media coverage that while in the Nordic countries, what we do is treated as culture. In some of the American media, it is. But in some of it, it's like, see all these nerds. We should all gather them in one place and laugh at them because they are strange. See, they play and enjoy it. And luckily, we don't suffer as much from that in the Nordic countries. There's still some of it, but it's not as bad. And it means that doing something that's different and strange and requires a big investment is something you're actually allowed to do without becoming a social pariah.
Klaus Rosted, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're more than welcome.
Klaus Rosted, he's an author, an avid LARPer, and you'll find a link to his latest project, which is crowdfunding a wizard-style LARP called The College of Wizardry. That's at wordofmouthradio.org.